You're listening to the Holistic Spaces podcast brought to you by Mindful Design Feng Shui School, episode 334, Celebrating Summer Solstice with Feng Shui. Welcome to episode 334 of the Holistic Spaces podcast, where we hope to inspire, educate, and empower you to create your own holistic spaces that nurture and resonate with you. Angie To and Laura Morris are the founders of the Mindful Design Feng Shui School and authors of Mindful Living, a guide to the everyday magic of Feng Shui. We teach Feng Shui online at mindfuldesignschool.com. Sign up for our mailing list for special free content, workshops, and events that are available only for our newsletter subscribers. So one of the events that are only available to our newsletter subscribers is a giveaway that we're holding right now for our newsletter subscribers. So we're giving away a free mini home consultation that's going to be aired on the Holistic Spaces podcast. It's super special. Laura and I only do these consults together for these podcast giveaways. And we did one last year. It was so much fun. I think all of you guys enjoyed it. So it's a great way to connect with you listeners. And the way you sign up is to make sure you're on our mailing list. You can go to mindfuldesignschool.com/join and make sure you're getting our newsletter. Check your spam. And then in the newsletters, there'll be a link to sign up for that giveaway. And for that giveaway, you can sign up by leaving us a review. So you can review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, or you can leave a review for our book, Mindful Living, A Guide to the Everyday Magic of Feng Shui, on Goodreads or on Amazon. So take a screenshot of that and make sure you're on our newsletter, and there'll be a form where you could sign up to enter our giveaway. So this is one of our favorite times of year coming up. Laura and I love the summer. We're kind of like summer babies, right? Like Laura is Virgo. She's right before the fall, but when it's like the second summer, and I'm in August. And so I think we both really love summer. And we have summer solstice coming up. And the summer solstice marks the official start to the summer. But in the Asian system, actually, summer has already started if you listen to our chi forecast. And I mean, I think you can, depending on where you are, you could probably feel it. And so it's summer solstice in the northern hemisphere. It's winter solstice in the southern hemisphere, which is just two sides of the same coin. And Laura's going to talk to us more about this summer solstice.
Yes. So what is the summer solstice? Like Angie mentioned, it is, in many people's mind, the official start of the astronomical summer, of the start of summer. But in fact, if you follow the solar calendar and the solar terms like we do, it's the peak, right? We're really kind of moving into the peak of it because the beginning of summer was in May. So the Earth's pole, because it is tilted closer toward the sun and it's the most extreme angle, we end up getting the longest day period of sunlight all year long. And therefore, many people treat this as sort of the official start of summer. But, you know, you listeners know that we've been moving toward it slowly but surely toward this peak. You know, again, nature, the cycles of nature, energy, the chi, it doesn't turn on and off like a switch. It's a slow, gradual build and gradual sort of, however you want to see it, as a reduction of yin or increasing of yang, qi, that balance. And the closer we get to that peak of yang, we get into the summer, that peak summertime. And it typically happens between the period of June 19th, June 21st, again, depending on where you live and the time differences, et cetera. And again, the southern hemisphere will be experiencing the opposite, which is the winter solstice. In many cultures for thousands of years, when people didn't have calendars and, you know, Google Calendar and, you know, the internet and all of these other things, even books, they just looked at how long the days lasted. And they figured out that there is a particular time when the sun is highest in the sky and it's up for the longest period. And around that, these celebrations began. And actually, the word solstice is from Latin, and it's solstitium, which translates as sun standing still. So sol is sun, and stitium is stand still or to stop. So it has ancient origins, as does the winter solstice, as does the spring equinox, all of these times of when, you know, people followed what was happening in the sky because that's what they had. The summer solstice is also the midway point of the growing season. And so this is the halfway time between planting and harvest. It's when, as feng shui practitioners and followers, we would say the fire qi or the fire energy is at its zenith, it's at its peak. And it has been, again, as I mentioned, because of that, a time of celebration across many cultures for thousands of years.
So from a feng shui perspective, we look at the five elements, and one of those elements, fire element, is embodied at this time with the summer and with the summer solstice. So big fire qi is that heat of summer. We're in fire season. It happens every day too, not just in the summer. It also happens on a more micro level when we think about high noon. High noon is the summer or the fire, or when fire qi is the maximum, when the sun is at its highest point in the sky. And on a deeper energetic level, it's when everything is brought to light. It's a time of intense clarity and inspiration. And as feng shui practitioners and feng shui dabblers and you feng shui, the people that you get, that are listening, interested in feng shui, the seasons, the natural world is so important to look at in terms of your environment. Feng shui is an exploration of how to connect with the natural world. So we can look at fire qi, like what does that mean? And because it's the summer solstice, we can explore that, investigate that. So we have those five elements, right? So five elements in feng shui. There's fire. Fire creates earth. Earth creates metal, sorry. And metal creates water, and water creates wood. So we have this interesting five element or the five phases. It's a cycle. And fire qi is the time, the energy that's embodied right now. So we can talk about fire element right now, but it's also important to consider what is the opposite. The opposite is the water qi, which is embodied with the winter solstice that's happening in the southern hemisphere. So we can't explore fire without exploring water. And if you think about it on a super practical level, when you are in a hot fire season, like on a hot summer day, what do you need? What do you enjoy? What is supportive for you? Water, swimming, drinking water, hydrating, staying cool, the darkness of water, pulling down the shades when it's too hot outside to cool down your home. That is the way of working with these opposing elements. A lot of people worry like, oh no, I shouldn't have any like water element in my fire gua of my home. And while that can be true on a superficial kind of surface level investigation of feng shui, Laura and I teach our students and challenge you listeners to do better. And instead of looking at how things are separate and distinct and looking at them as like two different entities that don't exist with each other, instead, how are those in conversation with each other? How can we find that conversation, that dance between fire and water? Because we all know that the most soothing thing in the world on a hot summer day, on a fiery hot summer day, is the coolness of water. And vice versa, on the coldest, like winter solstice day, on the longest, darkest night of the year, we really embrace the fire of a candle or the fire of a fireplace or a bonfire and warmth. So those really work in tandem. It's a dance. It's a relationship. It's yin and yang. And so we really encourage you not to look at, oh no, this is bad. I can't have any of this. That's really like the beginner level way of looking at the five elements or to look at yin and yang. So we challenge you on the summer solstice, on the big fire yang energy of the year, how can you find some cooling, some soothing, and explore also the benefits of the polar opposite? And how can you embrace both of these in your home and life to celebrate the solstice?
Yeah, it's important that you brought that up, Angie. And I know we talk about this a lot, is the fact that there's the idea that the when two elements are, quote, clashing, that they somehow are negative. But really, sometimes those clashes can offer the most productive part of the energy. You know, fire boils water and it makes steam and it makes so many things. And I think this is a really important nuance for people that are beginning with feng shui. And there's sometimes a lot of fear around it, and like, you're doing this wrong, or you should be doing this right, or if you don't do this. And I think when you start to look at feng shui from a not just an energetic way, but a symbolic way, and also tapping back into nature and really thinking about the reality of what, again, like Angie mentioned, hot summer day, obviously water is really important. You don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of things that are all around you in nature, just because at some point you read that it was real, real bad if you, you know, put water next to fire. I mean, at the end of the day, it seems counterintuitive, and it's counterintuitive to nature. So I personally would prefer to listen to nature. But anyway, so I think just all that to say is start looking at these things with a little more nuance. So Angie, we didn't actually talk about this, so we're going to talk about it right now, but I know you're always up for these things. So I was thinking, what's a way that our listeners could embrace both of these elements in their own home, but a little bit different than just saying, oh, you know, like light a bonfire and then have a glass of water. You know, I mean, obviously that's something you, but I thought, what if we talked a little bit about flowers, summer flowers, because I don't think we're going to talk about them outside. I don't think we have that in the docket to do. So I thought this might be a good opportunity to talk about how flowers represent that sort of essence of summer, that visibility, that big energy, the beauty of it. And, you know, we all, it's just such a time when you think about summertime, these big, beautiful blooms and the range of colors are abundant. And in our book, we actually did talk about this as well. So I thought, what if we did something that was sort of a spin-off of that, where our listeners could embrace the energy of summer by visualizing a summer flower? And I will go through some of the different flowers. But then, Angie, I was wondering if you would maybe do kind of walk people through a visualization about how they could gather the essence of a flower with water. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or they could read our book.
Or they could read your book. Yes. But what, but you could, I mean, you could just talk in brief what that means and why,
okay,
why using water as opposed to like picking the flowers or doing something like how the powerful, like, I don't know. Do you want to do that?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
And also I'm looking at our podcast schedule. We do have an upcoming podcast next month about flowers. So we'll go more in depth about flowers.
Okay, cool. Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I picked five flowers and I'm just talking about their symbolism. And what I thought I would do is I would go through and I'd list them. And then while you're listening to them, pick the one that appeals to you the most. And because they're each having different, you know, they each have different symbolism behind them. They each have different colors around them. And I'll talk a bit about that because I think there's something to be said. Yes, we can all go and buy them at a flower market, which 100% you can do. But maybe there's something, you know, more deep with a visualization of these and just keeping them in your mind's eye. So the first one that I want to talk about to resonate the most with you is a peony. Peonies are abundant at the beginning and sort of in, depending on where you are, you know, June, late June into July. And they represent abundance. They also represent nobility because they're one of the flowers and plants and flowers in Chinese tradition that are revered. And they do have this many layered petals on them. And, you know, if you've seen a peony, and so visualizing right now, pinks and purples, that rich, deep color with all of those beautiful, soft petals is one, and its abundance. And then the next flower is a rose, and it can be a rose of any color you choose, a tea rose, which are those traditional, beautiful roses that you see in rose gardens, the very sort of English garden style roses is one option. And those come in, you know, coral colors. They come in whites. They come in pinks. They come in reds. Or you know, you could think more of the wild rose, which are incredibly fragrant. You know, they're sort of open up and they have that yellow center, and they're traditionally pink or white. And both roses, doesn't matter which one, if you pick a more cultivated rose or you pick a wild rose, they both represent love, as well as, depending on the color, often passion. And rose is important too because it represents love, but also all things that are connected with love. So all parts of it, even the good and the bad, right? Because roses have thorns. And so sometimes relationships come with good and bad. And it's embracing the beauty of the rose and thorns and all. So the next flower on my list is the sunflower, which is, the energy is very much connected to that of the sun because it is obviously a giant sun-shaped flower with yellow petals, and it blooms sort of late height of summer. So it has that fire energy connected in it. And in feng shui, we would connect that to fire qi, but also it is about turning and always remaining positive, because there is a belief, and I do think this is true. I don't think they actively turn throughout the year, but they tend to grow in the direction of the sun where it's most prominent, and they face that sun. So there's this, not only this loyalty, but there is the idea of loyalty and devotion with the sunflower, but also the idea of choosing to see the positive side and turning to see the positive side.
So actually, could you talk about honeysuckle? Because I haven't worked with honeysuckle, so okay. I don't know if I can speak.
Are
to
you
it.
Good with? Okay, you'll talk about the last one. Okay, so honeysuckle is very fragrant, and it is one that I actually did when I was doing a flower essence where we were gathering them in the sun. We did sort of water with them, and honeysuckle was the one I chose. And honeysuckle has the fragrance, it is this beautiful corally pink color. Generally, it's a climber, so it climbs up walls. It also is a perpetual flower, so it flowers all summer long, which many plants don't do. So it has this resilience to it and this long lasting, but it also represents sweetness, the sweetness of life, because there is this sweet nectar that's connected to it, as well as charm. So honeysuckle is fragrant, beautiful, sweet, and charming.
So the last one on the list is the daisy. So there's lots of different kinds of daisies. You could think of like the store-bought daisies that are quite big, like the Gerber daisies, and they're really bright and they're so cheerful. They're like looking at you and smiling, like perma-smile. So they can represent joy and new beginnings. But there's also wild daisies that you can see. I'm just thinking about a retreat I was on last year, and I was teaching flower arranging at that retreat. And we were collecting some flowers from the store, commercial material, but we also looked around the grounds at this retreat center in Maine along the beach to find some material to work with as well for this class. So there was an abundance of these little wild white daisies. I remember the folks there were like, oh yeah, go ahead and take all of them because we're going to mow them down to like tomorrow. Because they were like with high grasses, mm-hmm. and they were just so cute. They're like, you know, the size of a quarter. They're really just adorable and quite tall, and each one has a different characteristic. So not just with daisies, but with any flowers, it's really a joy to look at each individual one instead of maybe getting a whole bouquet and sticking it in a vase. You can maybe give half of the bunch away to a friend or a neighbor. They'll be so grateful. And then just select just a few and define the personality in each one and keep it pretty simple. So that leads us to like a way to work with summer flowers for the summer solstice. So, you know, in our book, Laura and I spent a lot of the book, Mindful Living, talking about the importance of seasons, because feng shui is really connected to the natural world and being present in what's happening in the moment, where it could mean that when we work with our students, we encourage them to not look at feng shui as a checklist, that static but how can you respond based on learning the fundamentals? How can you then use those tools to respond to the moment based on each client's needs, their unique home, their unique life, what's in the air at the moment, what's going on around them and their interactions with the world? It's a beautiful dance. So similarly, we thought that was really important to address in our book. And one really easy way to understand that is just to look outside your window and to connect with the seasons. Even if you live somewhere, like I grew up in California where you don't see a huge change of seasons, you still have those people in California that, you know, wear the, you know, we'll still wear our like sweaters in the winter, even though it's, and scarves in the winter, even though it's pretty warm by, you know, New York City standards. In our book, we actually created a ritual for each season, honoring each season. And in mindful living, the ritual for summer is the magic of summer flowers. So instead of doing a visualization, I think because summer is about action, summer is about movement, instead of visualizing it, which is more of a yin practice, let's actually like give you a action to do. So all of you can go out on a walk. And this is a little bit like, this is a little bit a taste into what the whole ritual is in the book. It's like an abbreviated version, but like take a day, if you can, on the summer solstice, find a time, find a few moments, like maybe 15 minutes that you can go out and take a walk. So go out into the world, take a walk and see what you come across and see if you can come, if you can go into a natural space, as you know, somewhere on or around the summer solstice where you can encounter a flower. And who knows, maybe it's a dandelion pushing out from the cracks of the sidewalk in an urban area. Maybe it's a flower in a window of a shop. Maybe it's in your garden. Maybe it's on a hike. Or, you know, sometimes it could be like someone left a flower for you on your doorstep. Like I had a class consultation once with a client who we gave her a flower ritual to do. And the next day she emailed me and said that someone had randomly left her flowers at her front door. It was like magic. And actually I followed up with her. I just talked to her last week. I hadn't talked to her in a few years. And I said, whatever happened with that? I said, I think of you often because that was such an interesting experience that we had this consultation and I gave her instructions to bring flowers into her home. And then she woke up the next day with fresh cut flowers at her front door. So she found out later, a neighbor came up to her later and said, oh, did you ever receive those flowers I left you? He had left her flowers like mysteriously at our front door. So we solved the mystery, but it's still magic, right? She manifested that. So in any case, see what flower comes into your path and you don't have to pick it. But if you do, you can ask permission, like, do you want to come home with me? And if it does, you can collect that flower, whether it's from the store, whether it's from the crack in the sidewalk. It could also be a picture of a flower that you come across. It doesn't have to be a real flower. But if it is a real flower, which I encourage you, if it's a living flower, come home and offer it some water. So offer it that refreshment of water element that we've been talking about and let it drink the purest, cleanest, freshest water. You know, trim the bottom, let it drink water, and then just like see what message that flower has for you. And if you want to put another feng shui twist to it, you can put it in an area of the Bagua that resonates with you at the time. You could also put it in the fame position of your home or in the career position of your home, which relate to water or fire. So see what comes up, and then you can later research. Like there's lots of fun apps now where you can research. If you don't know what the flower is, you can look up what that flower is. You can research like what the flower means, where the flower is originally from, maybe the Victorian meaning of the flower. And there's always so much fun like discovery you can do just investigating like the symbolism of a flower. And then come up with your own meaning based on your experience. Just like my story about having that abundance, walking in that abundance of those wild daisies and the wild grass. I felt like Laura Ingalls Wilder or something, like Little House on the Prairie. I'm like, there was pictures of me like walking through. But it felt very abundant and very like open and expansive and cheerful. And all of these little daisies, like they're like, I went out and I was like, do you want to be part of this Ikebana class? And I heard all these, yes, you have like, yes, yes, we want to, we're going to be mowed dead tomorrow. So, see what like fun experience comes up and don't be afraid to go out into the world. Cause this is what the Big Summer Chew is about. Like, let yourself be seen. Like we talk about this in the summer chapter too. Like let yourself be seen, put yourself out there, which is what fire element can be about. And like, the fame area of the Bagua is about as well.
Well, thank you for, stepping up with something I didn't give you any information on before we had to do it.
That's okay. If you guys don't know, like Laura and I, like we don't even check. We just have like a title and then we just like.
Random thoughts, random ideas.
We have like an outline, but it's kind of good. Like we have this good thing going. We work really well together, if you haven't noticed. Yeah, thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the Holistic Spaces podcast. You can tune in every Monday for a new episode. And if you like our episode and if you like this podcast, please share it with others, leave a review. Be sure to support us by signing up for our mailing list. You can visit mindfuldesignschool.com/join. Have a wonderful summer solstice and we'll see you next week.